This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. Well, what a weekend that was. Oh, my goodness. We got Chris Harrington coming up at 10 o'clock. Otherwise, it's just us here for this. That means by us, I mean me, and I mean Jeffrey, and of course, I mean you. On a day like today, it's got to include you. So we will do that. Let's just start, Jeffrey. We asked for, or were sent, I think we asked and then were sent, the official pronunciation of the new interim coach's name. And my understanding is this is the new interim coach saying his name.
Correct.
Isn't that your understanding?
Yes.
All right, let's roll with this. Then no one says it like that. Tuomas Iisalo. Let's hear it again. So it's a Tuomas. It's a Tuomas.
I'm good on the first part. I think it's Tuomas.
Tuomas. Tuomas. Say that. Iisalo. Tuomas Iisalo. But it sounds like you're saying it with an accent. And
correct.
What everyone says is Tuomas Iisalo.
Yeah.
Tuomas Iisalo. I actually think that works. It's close enough. It's Americanized Tuomas Iisalo.
I think we'd say it Anglicanized.
Anglicanized. Tuomas Iisalo. Tuomas Iisalo.
So obviously the spelling of his last name is Iisalo. So it seems to me like you have a...
He has a long I when he says it.
Correct.
Iisalo. But no one's going to say Iisalo. So they can say Iisalo.
Correct.
One more time. Tuomas Iisalo. Tuomas Iisalo. You got to do... If you're going to do it with authenticity...
I'm hearing Salo. Are you not...
Salo? Go ahead. Yeah. Tuomas Iisalo. Salo. Salo.
Yeah, Salo.
Yeah, you say Salo, I say Salo.
Of course.
Tuomas Iisalo.
I think Iisalo. This is just a reminder to me that all the Scandinavian countries, like, their languages are very difficult.
Interestingly, by the way, there was a story in the New York Times today about happiness in Finland and about this woman who was very unhappy in the U.S. and moved and went to Finland to see if she could discover happiness. And so listen, if Tuomas Iisalo can bring happiness to the Memphis Grizzlies and their fan base, it is to be fervently wished. Whew. Good year for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Great year for Ole Miss.
Absolutely.
Very good year for Tennessee, and yet disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you score 15 points in the first half,
that'll do it.
That tends to color how you feel about the end of the season.
Also not a great tip kickoff for our showboats yesterday.
Not the best.
Not the best. So we have a lot to get into, but let's start with the news, which broke after our show, of course. It's amazing that we're able to scrape together any ratings at all here on this show, much less the colossal ratings that we routinely register, given that all the news happens after we're done.
Yes, of course.
People are scheming to get us.
Yes, of course.
But
we rise above.
We
hate.
Persevere. When they go low, we go high.
Especially in the ratings.
Especially in the ratings. So let's discuss. And, of course, we will give you an opportunity to discuss next. And then Chris Harrington will join us to discuss at 10 o'clock. First of all, I think we can say it is not a surprise at all that Taylor Jenkins will not be the head coach of the Grizzlies next year.
Yep.
That he was fired.
Yes,
a surprise at all.
Yes.
Barring some unexpected playoff run, I certainly anticipated that he would not be returning next year. As did you,
yep.
Right? Yeah. Pretty clear. Yep. As did anybody. Don't you think?
I think most.
In Memphis.
I mean, I do think locally. Some people wondered if they had a good playoff run, could that salvage?
Right. Well, we even wondered, like, I mean, we had Jason Smith on last week, and he was like, I don't want a one series. Yeah. His main concern, even before he was fired, that he get fired, and that wanted to make sure that a one series win wouldn't screw that up.
Yeah.
I don't know we'll get into whether he lost the locker room, but he clearly lost the fan base. He lost the hardcore fan base, the people who really watch on a day-to-day, follow this on a day-to-day, were no longer convinced that he could take them to where they wished to go. And so it was no surprise at all he was going to be fired. In fact, maybe I shouldn't say this. I would urge you, by the way, if you haven't been reading the Daily Memphian over the weekend about this, both Chris's analysis and then Drew's reporting, and then even I chipped in, but whatever. Those two are tremendous on the Grizzlies. I think I can tell you, Drew had the Taylor Jenkins story pre-written. You know how in obits, like Bob Hope dies at age whatever it is, the New York Times, boom, they pop up with the Bob Hope. Well, it's because it's pre-written,
yep.
Right? And Drew, being a good reporter, had the Taylor Jenkins fired story. He didn't wait for the offseason. He had it pre-written. So no surprise at all that he was fired. It was a massive surprise. It was a massive surprise. And let's not pretend otherwise that he was fired when he was fired with 9 games to go in the season. Indeed, it is, in fact, totally unprecedented in the history of the league. That had never happened before. There are examples, by the way, of coaches who, I mean, there's stunning firings, right? The Adrian Griffin doc won last year. The David Blatt one. Like, those teams had good records and their coaches were fired.
Yep.
That has happened before, but that was much earlier in the season. There are others who have actually. Larry Brown, way back when, was quote-unquote fired when the team, the New Jersey Nets, were 47-29 in 1983.
Okay.
Sort of almost exactly the same situation, except for this. He had agreed to take the job at Kansas.
Yep.
In the offseason. So they fired him. It's like when we want a Michigan man coaching the team. It's like we want a Nets man. So Larry Brown had taken himself to Kansas already, and so they said, well, the hell with that. We're firing.
We'll help you. We'll help you pack.
There are others who, Don Nelson of the Mavs was 42-22 in 2004-05, but he wasn't fired. He basically resigned.
Yeah.
He resigned to hand it over. And so there have been coaching changes late in the season, but not firings like this. This is literally unprecedented. So of course it was surprising. I was stunned. You were stunned, I take it.
Yes. I mean, I think the key distinction of everything else we can come up with an example is it's usually something happened. This was purely performance-based.
Yes. So, and heading into the, what seemed to be the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
Certainly this massive three games at home against
Lakers, game of the year.
The Celts and the Warriors, and you fire your coach. And so it's like, holy smokes. And they were, by the way, roundly pilloried. I saw the decision nationally. I saw the decision called bizarre. CBS called it bizarre. It's certainly unusual, and they better be right. And there was a lot of like, and then there's a lot of, which we'll get into, digging into the reasons and finding agendas here and secret plans and whatnot. But it was clearly the timing was a massive surprise. And so then gets to the question, why? And there's been a lot of talk about why. Zach Kleiman Saturday morning, sort of, in a two minute, 40 second address on this topic, availability, said that the team valued urgency as a core principle. Basically, they wanted them to play better, and they didn't want the season to go to waste, was sort of the implication. But I kind of objected to the urgency as a core principle, given the way they have both coached and conducted their transactions this season. Right? Was urgency a core principle at the trade deadline?
They sold.
Right. It didn't seem like urgency was a core principle. So that was a little odd. But so why? Well, you have to start with the fact that lately they've sucked, right?
I think that's where you begin.
And let's be clear.
I think that's the primary cause.
Whatever you think about the assistants, the schisms,
yeah.
Jaw, anything else, had they not been playing terribly, this would not have happened.
I agree.
So it is first and foremost about the fact that they've been dreadful. They've been particularly dreadful. It's now 10 straight losses against teams with 500. This isn't like 10 straight losses against Oklahoma City, Cleveland, and Boston. This is 10 straight losses against any team with a winning record. And so it's been dismal, and they've gone from a very good defensive team at the start of the year to a truly atrocious defensive team since the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So you start with, they've been terrible. Now, that itself wouldn't have been enough. Know who else who hasn't been so great? Like, literally heading into the game with the Lakers Saturday, the Grizzlies in their last 10 were 5-5. The Lakers were 4-6.
Yep.
Lakers aren't firing their coach. Like, lots of teams go through bad stretches and don't fire their coach. So it's not enough that they were bad. They were bad in a way. There's Zach Kleiman, and ultimately, of course, he had to get permission from Robert Pera. We're convinced that it wasn't going to get any better. Things were so broken internally that it wasn't going to get any better. So, team was terrible. B, wasn't going to get any better because things were so broken internally that there was literally no hope. They knew. Things had gone off the rails. Things were toxic. I've heard it. I've described lots of different ways. But that things were not going to get any better. So then you look, okay, well, that's fine. That all seems fine. But why? What had broken? And that's where you get into some of this stuff. There was a lot of talk nationally and a lot written and said nationally about, let's scroll back to the hiring of the firing of the assistants and the hiring of the assistants during the offseason. And some of it suggested that this was inevitable given that. Well, it wasn't inevitable because if they hadn't started playing badly, you could have had whatever schism existed amongst the assistants and it wouldn't have resulted in a coaching change, right? But again, the start was that they're playing hideously. So then you got this, weirdly enough, nationally, I think it was, by some, entirely misinterpreted because there was this, I saw some saying that this was Zach Kleiman doubling down on the offense. In other words, that you have a situation where they brought in these assistants who wanted this new offense, and Ja didn't like the new offense, and Taylor had started to go away from the new offense, and so they fired Taylor because they wanted to, and it was a double bird to Ja, and we're doubling. That's just not at all my interpretation. And indeed, if you listen to Tomas Isolo in the pregame, it was really interesting because he was asked about, you know, what do you think about the offense? And what's yours and what's not yours? Like, how much has your influence been? And what he said was, you know, he said, the emphasis on pace, I'm paraphrasing, the emphasis on pace, that's a lot of what I agree with. He said, but I tend to lean into more pick and roll. And so what you actually had was one assistant, Noah LaRoche, who ran this offense that was basically without pick and rolls, and then another who believed in a ball dominant point guard and screen and pick and rolls. And in the end, Taylor Jenkins, again, we're parsing this out, seemed to align himself more with Noah LaRoche than with. And look who was canned.
Yes.
Look who was canned. It was Taylor Jenkins, and it was Noah LaRoche, and then it was Patrick St. Andrews, too, who is a longtime colleague and friend from way back when of Taylor Jenkins and had brought in the year before to focus on offense, now was basically charge of defense, which has gone off the cliff as well. But anyway, so two assistants canned along with Taylor Jenkins. So it's pretty clear that some roiling among the assistants, some jockeying among the assistants, and about the approach was a big part of this. Agree?
Agreed.
Okay. So then the next part is the players. And one of the things that was really interesting, you know, you hear a lot, the players, he lost the locker room, right? That's a phrase that you hear when a coach is fired.
Yeah.
Right? You lost the locker room. And what was very clear in the actual locker room Saturday, he hadn't lost a lot of the locker room. Like, there are a lot of players who, well, first of all, the ones you would expect, like Scottie Pippen, Lamar Stevens, like these guys went out of their way, Jalen Wells, to thank him, exclaim how much he meant to them, gave him a chance. Well, you'd think, right?
Yeah.
These are all potentially fringe guys who had been elevated and their career had been greatly impacted by Taylor Jenkins and the work that he did. That wasn't surprising at all. John Conchar just was weirdly terse. He's never particularly loquacious, but he's kind of boring, really. But he was
agreeable.
He was notably terse. I didn't quite know how to read that. But what was interesting was two of the stars also went out of their way. Like, Jaren said, that's my dog. That will always be my dog. He will be one of the most sought-after coaches for other jobs, as he should be. I'm paraphrasing. But that's what he said. Couldn't have been clearer that he is a Taylor Jenkins guy. That's my dog. It will always be my dog. And Desmond Bane said, he got a little emotional. Interestingly, Desmond Bane, we asked people how they found out. Santi found out he was walking downtown with his girlfriend.
Yep.
Gigi Jackson was brushing his teeth. Phone blows up. The one who said, I got a call from Taylor Jenkins, was Desmond Bane. Now, there are others. Jaren said he had been called by Taylor and by Zach, and he'd been asleep, so he didn't hear from them. He heard from the universe cascading in on him when he woke up. But he would have heard from them. So Desmond Bane, as he said, like, you know, and we said, you know, I said some emotional things to him. He said emotional things to me. Like, he loves Taylor Jenkins. Went out of his way. Couldn't have been clearer to say that. The only people actually who, like, were ambivalent. Okay, so Gigi Jackson, hey, man, he is not a happy camper. And among other things, he said, you know, this happens in the league. He said, what was surprising? I guess it's surprising. Again, I'm paraphrasing. I guess it's surprising the way it happened. But hell, I was blindsided when they sent me to the G League.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Equating him being sent to the G League with the firing of the winningest coach, whatever. So he didn't seem too unhappy. He seemed generally unhappy with life. It's not been a good year for 45. That's the number I think he said. 45. Not been a good year for 45. If there's going to be tweaks, I hope I'm included. It was not, he was, and then he said, all you got to do is smile through it. And then he put on a fake smile. Not a happy guy. And so literally the fringe guys like Taylor, two of the three stars like Taylor. When you talk about losing the locker room, it can mean two things. One, it's very clear Ja was not happy.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been clearer, right? He didn't like the offense. Didn't like his role in the offense. Didn't like the fact that it wasn't focused around a ball dominant point guard. And we've seen it all year long, right? So Ja was unhappy. Ja also returned from injury to play Saturday. And there's been a lot of, aha, Taylor's gone. Now he comes back. In fairness, before the previous game, Taylor had said, and this is a point Chris made on the show Friday, Taylor had said that Ja was progressing, you know, whatever, that he answered questions about Ja and answered in a hopeful way, in the exact same way that he had about Jaren Jackson Jr. earlier, and that foreshadowed Jaren's return. So this, even Friday, we thought was foreshadowing Ja's return. And sure enough, Ja did return. So did Ja come leaping back because the coach he hated was gone? Or was Ja going to come back anyway? I don't think we will ever know. It feels like to me he was going to come back anyway, but that doesn't mean he wasn't happy that that Taylor's gone. I think he is happy that Taylor's gone. I don't think there's any question about that. Did he, quote unquote, get him fired? Listen, the reason that Zach Kleiman went out of his way Saturday morning to say it was, I didn't consult the players, it was my decision and my decision alone, is to protect Ja. That's why, isn't it? Isn't that the biggest reason? Like, it's to protect the players.
Yeah,
and notably Ja.
The immediate reaction on Friday was Ja Morant got him fired.
Right. And I believe that Taylor, I'll believe Taylor and take him at his word, not Taylor,
Zach,
that he didn't consult the players. But I don't think it's because he didn't have to. He knew, you know, he knows. He talked to the players' agents, talked to the players' people. You don't think he knows that Ja's unhappy? Of course he knows that Ja's unhappy. He didn't have to call Ja and say, hey, what do you think we do about coaching change? How are we feeling? Yeah, we knew. Everyone knows. Even we know pretty much how he's feeling. Zach certainly knew how he was feeling. So is Ja part of this? What's your view of Ja?
So my view of this is, do I think Ja...
The Ja part of it.
Right. I think Ja fired the kill shot? No, I do not.
No, I don't either.
Do I think that Ja, if Ja really wanted Taylor Jenkins to be the coach, do I think he could have saved him? I do actually believe that.
I think that's true too. Yes, and but, I think Ja is. If he'd been asked, he would have voted off the island.
Yeah, I think so too.
He might not pick the timing.
But I don't think that he. I don't think this is like a Deron Williams like coach killing situation. Like, I don't think this is Giannis.
I don't
getting
either.
Rid the guy we mentioned him last year. Like, Giannis clearly got rid of
Adrian Griffin.
Adrian Griffin, yeah.
So the offense, the assistance is part of it. Ja's unhappiness, I think, is very clearly part of it. But then I think there's another part of it. And then the other part of it is that I think we have talked about that front office and coaching staff being in lockstep throughout the course of their tenure here. Right. That's how they're wired, the holistic approach. That's what they are, etc. I think it couldn't be clearer that it wasn't just the players and the coaches or the coaches and the coaches who were disagreeing. It was players. It was coach and management. And I think some of this is. It boils down to interpretations of what the hell has gone wrong, because stuff has gone wrong. We'll go back to the first point. They've been bad. Right? So, if you're Taylor Jenkins, my suspicion is you think that you've been bad because, well, A, injuries, and B, look at the crap that I have to, look what I'm fighting with. I got I got two rookies in my starting lineup. Like Marcus Smart, who was sent to me, who turned out to be a big bust. Like look
out of shape.
Look at the players. Look at the players that Oklahoma City is acquiring.
Yep.
You're getting me, Marcus Smart. Like, come on, man. And I got two rookies, and I got Marcus Smart and Jake LaRavia, who's kind of useful, and he's shipped off, and I got no help at the trade deadline, and I'm doing the best I can, and I suspect that is his interpretation of what went wrong. I think Zach Kleiman's interpretation of what went wrong is, oh my God, really? You're going to keep playing Cam Spencer? You're going to keep rolling out? Like, what is with these crazy-ass lineups? Why do we have to go 11 deep? What in the world is going on here? Why are, like, can't we settle on our guys and play our guys?
Yeah.
And by the way, I got you this big-ass center who's pretty good at pick and rolls. Can't we, like, use some, can't we, maybe that would unlock Ja and unlock Zach Edey? And what's with these crazy-ass lineups that are killing us in the middle of second quarters or at the end of some of the coaching decisions? I think in the end, Zach Kleiman thinks Taylor Jenkins, acknowledging that he has been a very good, is a big reason that they've floundered lately. And I think Taylor Jenkins thinks Zach Kleiman's a big reason that they floundered lately. And so in the end, part of what's broken, it's not just the whatever's happening between the assistants. It's not just Ja. I certainly don't think he has, quote unquote, lost the locker room. I think he clearly lost Ja. And then if lost the locker room means the players aren't playing hard for him,
yeah,
I think that's true. That's a different way of losing. They still like him, but it wasn't working.
Yeah,
right? It wasn't producing the urgency that Zach Kleiman talked about.
I don't know how you want to phrase it, but it's very obvious the effort in the past 3 weeks has
he
been
was
a
not
problem.
Reaching them.
Yeah, like they whether or not they've checked
out,
lost the locker, however you want to phrase, like they clearly. They have played at a level that we haven't seen them play.
And then I think there's very clearly a sense of, you know, what the hell's going wrong here. And I think Zach believed that the way that Taylor coached, the players he deployed, the times he deployed him, the decisions he made were hurting the team. And I'll say this. If you believe that, and I think firing him now as opposed to the end of the season actually is kind of ballsy, because here's the truth. Looking at that team and what they look like now without Brandon Clark, with the rookies, I don't think it's going to go well. Like, I think what's our percentage that they're going to be in the play-in now, Jeffrey? They're 1.5 games up. They're one game up on the Warriors, and they're 1.5 game up on Minnesota, and they're 2 games up on the Clippers with 8 to go now.
So when we asked this question on Friday, I believe it was 94%. Right now it's 79.3%.
That they miss the play-in, that they can avoid the play-in.
Correct.
I bet there's a bigger chance than that is in my own head. But I would find it astounding that they would win a playoff series at the way things are right now. So the odds are that things aren't going to, I think, end gloriously this year, right? They're shaken. Who knows? They might respond from this. They might come together. You got all three players, all the three stars playing now, whatever. Maybe it will end brilliantly. But the customary thing to do is just wait to the end of the season, fire the coach, and then you've got another year at least where you're okay because you got a new coach, right, before the spotlight turns on you. I think when you make an unconventional, bold decision like this one, the spotlight swings to you faster because people don't like, what are you – what? That was the reaction. What the hell is going on? And so I think, to Zach's full credit, it was a ballsier thing to do it now than to wait until later. And I think he put what he believes, again, we'll see if he's right, the best interest of the team and the franchise above his own personal, like some are like, he's just saving his own skin here. No, the thing to do if you're worried about protecting yourself is wait, do what, just the customary thing. It's just like if you're drafting in the NFL draft, you're not criticized if you take the player that everyone thinks you should take there. You're criticized if you take a different player. This is a different course, and I think it puts the spotlight more brightly on Zach.
I think the only thing I would push back on that is if you were concerned that if this continues to collapse in the fashion that it looked like it was collapsing, if you're worried that if I don't do something, we're all gone.
I suppose. So
but again, the biggest problem on that is we have no idea what Robert Pair thinks.
No, we have no idea. Yeah, we just have the general of the way the world usually works, which is that the coaches go first, and then the assistants go first. That happened last summer.
Yep.
Then the coaches go. That's happening now. And then the GM is the next, right?
But I can see a scenario where even though you and I know contextually it's not fair to sit there and go, the Grizzlies could have dropped from second to the play-in and even beaten the play-in, be in the lottery. We understand that there's context with that. But if you look at that type of collapse,
right,
it's not insane to think that they could just clean house.
No, it's not insane to think. But I still think, and they still could. I don't think doing this now forestalls that. It only forestalls it, I guess, if you think that they're going to all of a sudden play dramatically better. Anyway, so then the question is, what's next? And what we saw Saturday was all the hits, as Chris Harrington chronicled in his column from the game Saturday. Too many turnovers.
Check.
Too many players.
Check.
Giving up too many three-pointers.
Check.
A Jaren foul trouble.
Check. We played some of the old hits.
It's
our first
Chris
album.
Call it the full Monty.
Yeah.
And if you think that hiring a new coach makes everything that you hated about the old coach go away, well, again, as Chris pointed out in his column, Desmond Bane, team high 33 minutes. Three Lakers played 37 or more minutes.
Yep. And every Grizzly had a positive plus minus.
And every Grizzly starter had a positive plus minus. The new interim coach, he was asked about this after the game. Chris asked him about it. And what he said was, again paraphrasing, listen, playing more players and playing your stars fewer minutes, if you get greater urgency and energy from your stars, that can be a competitive advantage. That's the theory, right? Everyone can play harder and more furious passion if they play limited minutes, and that can be a competitive advantage. And he agrees with that. That is not something that was foisted on. That is part of his core principles. He also said this, that if you find that you're not getting better play, more efficient play, more passionate play, more energy, whatever, from your starters by doing that, you have to rethink it, because then it's not a competitive advantage. Then it's a competitive disadvantage.
Right.
Because
they're
best playing their best players longer than you're playing you, whatever. Everyone's playing. So the whole idea is that it is predicated on this notion that everyone's going to play better and harder and more furiously for the more limited minutes. But that's part of his deal. Now, more pick and rolls, also part of his deal, as he said. And we immediately saw Zach Edey reinserted into the starting lineup. Played well, honestly, for that game. What else can happen going forward? Like, whatever. They got the Celtics. They got the Celts tonight. They got the Warriors tomorrow. This could be a bit of a tough go for the Grizzlies. And as he points out, there's not a lot of opportunity to change things.
Yes. I mean, this is when everyone was talking about Friday, like, oh, this will be like they'll go back to a new offense. Like, guys, they can't just reinstall an offense.
What you can change is player groupings, player deployment, that kind of thing.
Probably an emphasis,
and then you can tweak things.
Yeah.
in the terms of the schemes, but the stuff you run, but no, you can't install new systems here. You can deploy your players differently is the biggest thing. In terms of will he get the job going forward? I do not rule that out at all.
I think he's being given an opportunity.
I think he is the if you ask me or the field, I might take the field. But I, if you ask me to name one person,
player,
the
yeah.
most likely person to be the head coach, it is our guy Thomas. Because he was the subject of a considerable bidding war to get him here to begin with. He is very highly thought of in basketball circles. Drew Hill wrote about this last summer. And so they paid a bucket of money to bring him over for this job in the first place. And so if you think that he is just a, you know,
they paid a buyout and over market.
If you think he's keeping the seat warm, I would suggest you're badly mistaken. I think there is a really good chance that he gets this job. And in the locker room afterwards, to a person, all the players said, basically, super smart dude. And so they very clearly respect his basketball mind. So we shall see going forward. Is there anything else that we didn't cover? Oh, one thing we didn't cover is Drew Hill asked both Desmond Bane and Santi about their little dust up on the road they yelled at each other on the road. And they both said, listen, competitors being competitors. Des even said, listen, I don't know if he said he was in my wedding and I'm going to be in his wedding or but that's the point. Sometimes you can say competitors being competitors and you know underneath it, they actually hate each other's guts, right? Even though they're teammates, they go to each other's weddings like they're friends. And they talked it out. They hugged it out. Doesn't seem to be a big deal going forward. So there was that. I don't know if there's anything that we haven't covered. Anything we haven't covered, Jeffrey, on this front?
No, I think you nailed it.
All right. If you're looking to get something framed, Frame Corner would be the place to go. 5035 Park Avenue. 50 years. 50 years of framing. So whatever it is that your jersey, maybe you got a jersey, maybe you get your kid's hanging up her last season of baseball or softball or whatever it is. And you want to go ahead and get that jersey framed or a beautiful piece of art. The Frame Corner is the place to go. Custom framing is their specialty. Been doing it for 50 years. 5035 Park Avenue, FrameCornerMemphis.com. All right. We'll take your calls on this. What do you think? It's a very open-ended question. What do you think? What did you think? What do you think? What are your thoughts, your hopes? You mad at someone? Phone number's 445-0929, 445-0929. We'd like to hear from the people on a day like this. Your thoughts on the state of the Grizzlies and the coaching change. We'll do that when we return. 445-0929, 445-0929. Jeff Calkinshire, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Beck, I'm Jeff Calkins' show. We're taking your calls on what you make of this latest development with your beloved Memphis Grizzlies. 445-0929 is the phone number. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we start with Franny in Midtown. Franny, you are on.
Hey, Franny.
Good morning. Well, I am totally worn out from my forensic investigation of this whole matter. So I'm going to devote myself to the correct pronunciation of Coach's name.
All right, let's see. What you got? What's his name?
Well, I think you're missing a slight variance on the last name. I'm hearing E-A solo. I'm hearing an A in there between.
Let's hear it, Jeffrey. I don't hear there's an A. I don't think there's an A. I think you're forensic investigation.
Yeah, he's saying E-A clearly.
There's clearly something diphthongy about the long I, but I just obviously don't know Finnish.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we should organize a field trip and go with the locker room, which I am sure is just going to call him Coach.
That's a fine thing. Thank you, Franny. Appreciate it.
Bye.
We should have a field trip to Finland. Try the
song. Are you paying?
No, I'm not paying. 445-0929. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Frank at the Skybox. Frank, you are on.
Hello, Frank.
Good morning, Jeff and Jeremy. How are y'all doing? You know, apparently the G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams experiment was a huge failure, along with Marcus Smart. And that's on Zach Kleiman. I think they ought to get rid of Ja myself. He's going to be a head case from here on out. Get some draft capital for him to go with your other two superstars. I mean, how was Oklahoma City built? Cleveland, how are those teams built? And they're going to be good for a while.
Well, Oklahoma City
I don't have a lot of faith in Ja anymore. I just think he's going to be a problem in a head case. I just don't know if that's going to change. You know, we didn't get where we went when we had the other offense. Right now, you could probably get some pretty good draft picks for him, wouldn't you think? But I think
actually, I don't think the thing about if you ever decided in whatever to get rid of Ja, you would not get value for Ja, but you'd be getting rid of Ja, and the chances of finding someone with the talent of Ja. I mean, you wouldn't be able to trade him for a top three pick in this draft, for example. I can imagine because of the contract and because of, let's be honest, he's got his own baggage now. You're not the only one who's noticed, Frank. So anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye, buddy. See ya.
This is what happens, Jeffrey. Immediately I think it's true. Like Zach Kleiman has a large, and he said so himself, he's not absolving himself from any of this. He assembled this very deeply flawed roster. 445-0929.
Jeff, let's go to Kevin in Memphis. Kevin, let's go to Kevin. Now you're on.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man?
We're okay.
I just want to say Taylor Jenkins was tailor-made for Memphis, right? When we first got him, he was like a prom suit. You know, he fit us perfect. We had a six-pack. We were young and fly.
Yeah.
But 5 years later, we got a pot belly, and he don't fit us the same. So we outgrew that suit, man. It's time to move on.
All right.
Time to go forward, so I like to move.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445. It was clearly time. I don't think anyone is bemoaning the departure of Taylor Jenkins. Not many people in the fan base. It felt like even to acknowledge his successes here, which is it would be petty not to acknowledge his successes here. It felt like it was time. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Chris in East Memphis. Chris, you are on.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, Chris?
I'm great. I was shocked about the timing of Coach Jenkins firing, but I'm not sad to see him go. Like the last caller said, he was great for, you know, building the team and preparing us to get to this level, but we definitely needed a change, and I'm excited to see what happens next.
Are you hopeful for the rest of the season, though?
I was really hoping that we were going to beat the Lakers and that, you know, the new coach effect that applies in football, which might apply in the NBA. I'm still hopeful. Hopefully we can get back to setting pick and rolls and getting Ja, more consistent with running the offense. But I'm hopeful.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 445-0929. Yes, go ahead. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Dennis in Whitehaven. Dennis, you're on.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Look, quick plug, right quick. I will be going to the frame corner because my father passed and he had he was a Marine, two-time Vietnam vet, so I'm going to try to get the flag that they gave me framed. Oh. So I will be going there today. And on to the Grizzlies, man. I am not hopeful because they have obvious holes. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Ja was not happy. He was not happy, man. So when your star's not happy, you're going to have a problem. And to the other guy, the Skybox, man, the smaller market teams, you have to draft well. You just have to hit on the draft. I mean, Giannis, they drafted Giannis in Milwaukee. They, Oklahoma, they draft those guys. San Antonio, they draft those guys. So, I mean, we're going to have to hit in the draft. Kleiman did try to get people, you know, from word of mouth. I mean, try to get Durant, try to get Jimmy Butler. I mean, so, you know, I just think you're a smaller market, you have to draft, but I'm not hoping on the rest of the season.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I mean, in fairness, he's drafted well. In fact, I think, I mean, I hate to say this, going forward, my suspicion is the biggest hope for this team is the three stars and internal development of Jalen Wells and Zach Edey and Vince Williams and who knows, even GG Jackson. Isn't that like fundamentally how you think they're going to get better?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do also think, though, you know, who knows, like, if GG was a non-starter, but, like, there is a certain point where it's like, if that is, like, what kept you from making a deal.
Right. No. I don't. Yes, that's true. I just don't know how much ammunition they're going to have to do much more than other stars and internal development.
I agree.
445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Nick in downtown. Nick, you are on.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Good. Y'all doing all right today?
We're okay. It makes for an easy day. I'll say that. Say my piece.
Yeah.
Open up the phone lines. Talk to Chris. Maybe a little NCAA tournament. Like, this isn't July 27th when we have nothing to talk about. So.
Yeah. I was going to say you'll definitely have plenty of stuff to talk about today. But it's like everybody's saying. It's just time. You know, and surprised by the timing and everything, but, you know, the way I'm sure the front office is thinking, the way, you know, all that's going, they do want to try to salvage some kind of, you know, hope for this season or next season or, you know, just, you know, whatever. But, you know, you don't want to keep, you know, beating your head against the wall, trying to expecting things to go different when they're clearly not. And I think that just, I mean, like I said, just they couldn't figure out what they wanted to do. So, you know, hopefully this is a step in the right direction.
Yep. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 445-0929. So far, Jeffrey, and I don't think we'll find anyone who objects to the firing. Do you?
I think the way that they were playing, it was just such a bummer to watch.
It was dismal. Yeah. And let's be honest. The lineups enraged people, you know, from starting from game one, you know. Why don't they play their best players?
I'm not sure that's going to change.
I'm not sure that's going to change. Yep. Go ahead. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Daryl in Lakeland. Daryl, you're on.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. I got mixed emotions about the firing, but I also know that coaches get too much credit when they win and way too much credit when they lose. The thing that drives me up the wall.
Yep.
That they don't value the ball. They just come down and dribble it off their foot. They just throw it away like it's not important. And they help too much. They just help. As soon as a guy take one dribble, here come help. Let's see if he can stop him by himself sometime. They don't give the guys a chance, and they leave guys wide open because they help too much. Brevin said it 100 times the other night.
100%.
And it's just not
and none of that changed.
Watch.
Yep.
It's not fun to watch.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much. By the way, not a lot of relief on the not treasuring the basket, not valuing the basketball when you watch the Tigers. It seems to be a Memphis thing. What's next?
Jeff, let's go to Teddy in Arlington. Teddy, you are on.
Hey, Teddy.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I think it was necessary, not to get personal with you, Jeff, but and I've been through a divorce. I know you have, too. Sometimes you just know it's time. You like the person, you actually still love them, but it gets to a point where you guys aren't speaking the same language. And I think in any relationship, it just comes a time where it's necessary. And with him, I mean, you can't have predictable results with unpredictable process. And with him, the process was all over the place with the rotation and scheme and things like that. If you're constantly adjusting, then on the fly like that, you'll never be able to have anything that's actually predictable. So it was just time, you know, unfortunately, it happens in the business. So I would say I'm cautiously optimistic for the rest of the season. It just comes down to this. Before we make any drastic changes, you've got three top-of-the-line players in Jaren, Ja, and Bane. So that needs to be the starting point of anything. You can always build on the fringes. You know, we talked about all Oklahoma City and Cleveland. A lot of these players that they got before they got to those particular locations were not known players. Todd Jerome was a fringe NBA player. And now he was putting 30 up on us. So, like, we always have to keep that in perspective. You're not going to, in the modern NBA, going to be able to build a super team when you got three stars of that caliber. So it was just a necessary evil of the business. You know, Taylor did a lot for the franchise, but it was time. And hopefully with the new coach, we'll just get some semblance of an actual process. And then we'll know, you know, what the next steps are.
Appreciate it. Good call. Thank you. I agree with that, by the way. It's like the whole season was a giant-ass Petri dish, right?
Yep.
You know, like, how about it was...
I always used to argue it's a fruit salad. It's not even, like, blended up because, like, it's like everything's a little of this, a little of that.
Yeah. All right. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Gwen in Bartlett. Gwen, you're on.
Hey, Gwen.
Hi. Good morning. A couple of observations. If John's not happy, then I think they should let him walk and get somebody for him. Because, see, he gets these Laker healings. He hasn't played that much. Then he'll play against the Lakers. Either you're going to play or you're not. Your team needs you. You need leadership. And it was like when I was watching the Grizzlies, they lost their fire. At the beginning of the season, they had fire. They've lost a lot. In terms of Edie, I watch other teams take the ball away from him. Now, he's a rookie. He'll eventually get better. But right now, he's kind of a project. He'll be all right. I think he needs to work with a big man, maybe like Shaq or somebody. But hopefully they'll still make it to the playoffs. I don't know. But, I'm rooting for him.
Thanks
so,
very much.
And with,
yeah, go ahead.
And with small market teams, I agree with the guy, you've got to draft because people don't want to play for small market teams. And I think that's ridiculous. You know, Butler didn't have to say, I'll play for anybody other than Memphis. You know, we don't want you no way. But, you know, small market teams, they have to really draft to get to the point where they want to be. And thank you. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. If you're on, we'll get to you. Who do we got?
Yeah, we got two more, Jeff. Let's go to Nick in Memphis. Nick, you're on.
Hey, Nick. Hey, everybody. This is Nick. I was just wondering whether or not anybody's taking into consideration, like, what's coming in this offseason, like having to put Jaren on a max contract. And do you think that that was considered in the firing, too? I don't know. Everybody's talking about job, but that seems like the biggest thing this year that needs to happen. And doesn't Santi also have to get paid? Or do you think he's going to get traded by the way he's been playing this part of the season? Seems like after he got hurt, he just fell off a cliff.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Like, yeah.
Well, there's no question. I don't think the decision about what to do with Jaren or what to do with Santi had anything particularly to do with the firing. Those are unquestionably two of the massive issues that have to be addressed in this offseason. And will ultimately, the money that's going to be paid to Jaren will ultimately limit what else you can do. Decision has to be made around Santi. Shaved his mustache, by the way.
I did see that.
Said it was unrelated to the firing. It was not the mustache was not sacrificed to the memory of Taylor Jenkins. Last call,
Jeff. Let's go to Jim in Raleigh. Jim, you're on.
Well, hi. Good morning. I kind of think this is a chance for the Memphis Grizzlies to find excellence or go after excellence. That's what the whole, every day you go to your job and, you know, you want to do excellence. When I listen to you guys on the Jeff Calkins show,
excellence.
I hear excellence.
Pure excellence.
Excellence. Yep. Yes, you got to bring it every day. And you do. And I'm just hoping that maybe with these changes, it's going to be a new Grizzlies, effort. And everybody in the town can get behind them. And it's just a new beginning. It's a beginning.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. We're going to take a break. Chris Harrington, speaking of excellence, on the other side. We'll do that. It's Jeff Calkins Show on an eventful Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.